Welcome, everybody. It is the evening. For the next half hour, it is the evening after the big fandango down at the Pierce County Council room where, well, if I'm going to be honest, to just sort of cast a pall over this whole affair, we lost.
Spoilers.
Yes, spoilers. Woo! That horrible sign is going to appear over some window or, because, I mean, look at the room. There's not a lot of places to put it. There's going to be an In God We Trust sign in Pierce County next to, over, under, around, inside, maybe some fourth dimensional space that somebody will come up with, an E Pluribus Unum sign, which is the main difference today. But what I'm suggesting is that my next move in this little dance is my selfie of shame next to the In God We Trust sign.
You know, you can go to In God We Trust America and you can actually like post your municipality with you. It's basically like legislator selfies.
They have a selfie of shame page?
Yes.
Well, I think for them it's a selfie of pride, but that's because they don't understand the way this country works.
So I guess I got to take this picture and send it to Americans United, which, by the way, you guys rock.
Americans United for the separation of church and state, that is.
Yes.
That's the only Americans United that matters.
Okay.
Yeah, any Americans United that you're going to talk about is like confusing, and I don't care. It's the people who like the separation of church and state. Those are the people we're talking about.
What about the Americans United over waffles are really good?
No, that's the International House of Pancakes.
Stop. No, they are the enemy of
what?
Waffles.
No, they serve waffles.
Wait. Yeah.
Waffles, pancakes.
They'll serve any sugared breakfast conceit.
They have crepes. They have, yes. Yeah.
Unfortunately, Seattle does not have a The Der Waffle House, and there's three people
no,
who
but we do have Beer Tuba.
Who will get that reference.
We have Beer Tuba.
Beer Stuba.
No, it's Beer Tuba.
Beer Tuba, okay.
Beer Tuba.
Okay,
Someday, I will be hooked up to the Beer Tuba.
Yes, okay, if he is not already. So, getting back to today's county council meeting.
Right.
So, Sam, you were talking about there's E Pluribus Unum, which was a big difference from how the resolution read yesterday. It wasn't the only difference that we had proposed today.
We showed up at the county council building, and there was a whole spectrum of amendments because they put like amendments on different colored paper and they had to have two shades of pink.
I remember the first time we did this in the original budget meeting, the first time we went for when Jim McKeown was trying to give money to the Good News Club, and they had different pages for different amendments and all this stuff, but it was budget. You would expect a whole swath of different amendments for a budget, a yearly budget. This one, I show up and there's two resolutions and five amendments for one of the resolutions. I'm like, whoa, this is,
No, it's a really good idea. Okay, everybody look at the pink thing. We're talking about the pink thing now. Everybody look at the pink thing. But when you have two shades of pink, I got confused.
Yeah. So the first pink was actually a really sincere amendment by Connie Ladenburg. And it was to strike the In God We Trust and replace it with E Pluribus Unum for inclusivity and a nod to our national heritage. And she made a really good case for it. Rick Talbert also signed on to it. And nobody liked it.
Well, no, well,
nobody else on the council liked it.
Connie Ladenburg liked it. Rick Talbert liked it. I liked it. I had the first speech of the night. Woo!
Dave liked it.
Yeah, I did like it. And I gotta give credit. Sam started out with such a short, sweet, walks up, I would be proud to have this on our wall. Thank you. Yep. And walked away. And I'm like, well done. Like, there's not much else that needs to be said right here.
The cool thing is about this is that when you have public comment on an amendment, it's only supposed to be comment that is directed about this amendment. So, of course, today there were a lot of people there and there were a lot of people that had to be gently redirected. Wait, are we talking?
Gently redirected.
By two Pierce County Sheriff's officers.
Okay. Spoilers.
Wait, yeah. Spoilers. Spoilers.
There is a story here. Yeah. We're building to something.
So, okay. So Sam and Dave, your comment was really good. You were in support of E Pluribus Unum. You had a whole bunch of people that got up there and started talking about why blah 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 God we trust, and a bunch of times the council chair had to be like, excuse me, Is this about this amendment? No. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Now, you have to understand, I had to leave this early because I had to go to work, unfortunately.
Yeah, because people got lives.
Dave's a grown-up.
Yeah, Dave's a grown-up. That's funny. Anyway, I came in, and I was telling you about this, Sam, earlier at the bar, about how I had this idea. Going to bed last night, I had rolling in my head, what am I going to say to the council and everything? And in my head, I am, Mr. Speaker. I am Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. I am Atticus Finch speaking to the jury. I was ready to turn their opinion with an impassioned speech. I was going to be, by God, do your duty.
Yeah. Like, we're talking inherent the wind level stuff.
Yes, yes. Like, Newt Rockne, I was going to be that guy. And then by the time I got up there, for one, I had to get in on an amendment and not on the main discussion because I knew I had to leave. And so many people had made so many points I wanted to make that I kind of felt like I went up as like, this inclusive thing, this proves that this is not inclusive. I'm sorry to waste your time. I'm going to go.
But that's what parliamentary debate is like. And this is not Robert's Rules of Order. This is like Robert's Rules of WoW. I mean, it's like it. I don't know. But
Robert's,
you make these
Rules of World of Warcraft?
Yes, Robert's Rules of World of Warcraft. Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Could not resist.
No, I spent most of the evening thinking of awesome things I could say, and then you get up there and you're like, hello, I think your bill's kind of slow. I live in Tacoma.
Now, to be fair, Sam, you really didn't sound like that, and
you
rocked it every time you went up there.
That's how you feel, though, as you get up there, is you got this, like, I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to pull out these rhetorical daggers, and I'm going to be the assassin of conversation.
At least you were doing it all in English.
Fair point. But then, you get up there, and you're like, okay, I have my notes, I put my notes in front of me.
You got seven sets of eyes just like,
Hi. How you guys doing? How y'all doing? Things?
And now, I've been told by several people that's not how I came across, but my point, that's my point, is you feel like you didn't make a point.
Yeah.
And I think when people go back and review the footage, for the people with the fortitude to go back and review the footage, because it's like a 3-hour show.
3-hour train wreck. Oh, yeah.
But it's a beautiful train wreck. It is a pretty train wreck.
2 hours worth, and I'm like, I don't really want to go, but this is also kind of boring.
But I think you made a strong point. This is the long way around, but I think you made some really good points. I think everybody made some good points.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, that First Amendment died, as Ladenburg and Talbert knew that it would. Yeah. So, on we go to Ladenburg and Talbert's Amendments of Ridiculosity.
The straight up internet trolling of county politics.
It was beautiful.
It's unfortunate because I could not do what I want to, because they specifically said no clapping, because when they read this amendment, I want to stand up and
woo!
Slow clap.
Well done, sir.
So can I read amendment number one of Ridiculosity?
Please.
No, it's amendment two.
Okay, it's amendment two, but it's the number one ridiculous amendment.
It's the amendment of Ridiculosity numero uno.
Yes. So this was...
See what I did there?
Yes. Oh, yeah. This was, in God, Allah, Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah, Tianju, and all gods and deities we trust.
Because, if you're going to be inclusive, let's be inclusive.
And the greatest thing here is that really this was brought by Ladenburg. And she once the whole public had commented on this, she also then commented and said why she had proposed this. And she said, because God is not an inclusive, all-inclusive phrase. Not for our citizens of Pierce County, not for non-believers, not even for people that are religious.
And if I can skip slightly ahead.
Yes.
In the council member commentary, after public commentary, she actually referenced emails that she had received about how this wasn't inclusive, and spoke to the Humanists of Washington open letter.
Oh, yes. I was really pleased with that. She did read a section of our open letter that I wrote. So I was very pleased with that. An interesting thing there is that there were some characters that got up and testified against this because they said, it's not inclusive enough. You left the goddess out. And the thing here, God God, Allah, Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah, Tianju, those are all just different permutations of the Christian God. Those are languages, different names for the Christian God in different languages.
But that's the that is like masterclass trolling. Is every God they're mentioning is an aspect of the Christian God, and all of the Christians were coming up going, no, this isn't inclusive enough. It is inclusive. It's only speaking to the Christian God. Please go with the words that say specifically the Christian God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What they want are words that say, in God we trust, everyone else is a heathen who should be thrown in jail, et cetera, et cetera.
And then finish that up with, but it's so inclusive.
Right.
Like,
because as Dan Roach said, God can mean anything you want. It could mean marijuana.
Yeah. That was one that came up. Scott was the one who informed us of that. And
that was one that that was a line he had said to the media.
I thought he was joking too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like, apparently, no, God can mean science. It can mean Mother Earth, and it can mean marijuana. And so Scott actually, give him credit. He actually went up there. He's like, all right, so let's do this. Let's put in marijuana we trust on the wall right here. It's legal here. Let's do it.
Yeah, points there. But I'm thinking that maybe in the future, since we do live in the shadow of the Hobby Lobby decision, which you have to admit might have given somebody some...
might have emboldened
somebody. Fortitude to put this on. Maybe we should form the Church of Marijuana Science, where we worship the marijuana science. I don't know.
Rastafarianism? Like...
Sam, yeah. There was also a great thing that came up here, and it was all you.
Oh, we cannot miss this.
I am really trying to skip it.
Oh, no. We are not skipping this.
We're not skipping this.
Sam goes up, and he just lays it down, because up to this point, everyone was kind of talking around this and acting like this is a serious amendment that deserves consideration, because it's a serious government public discussion, and we're not supposed to make jokes. And Sam walks up, it's like, look, I love trolling. I love absurdist humor. And everyone just like, okay, good. We all know this is absurd. Oh, Jesus. Then Sam's like, dude, put it all up there. I want to see deity wallpaper on these walls. And even the conservatives just start cracking up. I was impressed.
It was good. And Sam, the point you had was, I would rather this whole thing not pass, but if it must, yeah, go ahead. Throw in all these names. Okay. I want deity wallpaper.
Well, if you're speaking to specific points that I made, the thing that I said was, if my choice is between an insult, which is what In God We Trust on the Wall means to people like me, and absurdist humor, where we coat the walls in every god you can think of, I'll go with the absurdist humor, because I would rather these halls make a joke than insult people. And it was funny, and everybody laughed, and then very quickly afterwards, they stopped laughing.
And they stopped laughing, and that's the thing. You hit that perfect moment, and that's, I think, the high point of the night that I saw, because I missed the fireworks later.
No, but it remained the high point.
But yeah, it's you got everyone laughing, and then there was this moment of silence, and you struck like lightning in that moment of silence, and just nailed the point so well. And that, I think, I would not be surprised to find out, and once again, spoilers, but we changed one vote, and I would not be surprised if that was a moment where he finally decided maybe there's a point here.
I guess it's a shame I can't do that on stage, but yeah, I felt like... You learn to read people when you're talking to them, and I actually felt like I had made a connection with the entire council at that point. I mean, I had no illusions that they were going to vote any other way than the way it went down, except for the spoiler. In multiple dimensions, anyway, multiple definitions.
Zing.
But I felt like I had reached people with that one.
So moving on to the second absurdist amendment that was proposed, it was, let's have In God We Trust in English, and then in the eight second most predominantly spoken languages of citizens of Pierce County.
So
it was like Cambodian, Russian, Spanish, Mandarin Chinese. And, the public had something to say about this.
Well, okay. What we haven't been talking about is the response from our opponents.
Right.
Which was, look, you listen to every conversation, every trope, every argument that you have ever heard as an atheist about why the government mentioning God isn't actually an insult to you, even though it is. And that's the way they characterize it. You shouldn't feel insulted, but screw you for not being a patriot. That's the argument. That's what we heard.
Yeah. Oh, it all
and
got
then
aired
this
today.
Came up because then somebody brought up the aspect of languages, like perhaps maybe there are other cultures or something. And a bunch of people came up and said, well, English is the language of this country, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And as most of you know, Ask an Atheist has a slightly different take on that. So Becky's response to that was amazing.
Understand, Sam had his moment to shine, and then this was Becky's moment to shine, and she played it brilliantly.
Yeah. So I write a quick little note to Sam, and I say, should I request an interpreter or not? And he goes, no, just go up there and do it. So I go. And I say, me llamo Rebecca Friedman, y estoy aquí para decirles que estoy de acuerdo con este cambio a la resolución. Basically saying, I'm here, my name is Rebecca Friedman, and I am in favor of this change to the resolution. And I just got up there and spoke for about 2 minutes in Spanish. I will admit, I was nervous. I was nervous when I was speaking in English.
You were really nervous. Yeah.
So, but I was...
But you were more nervous when you were speaking in Spanish.
Yeah.
For reasons that I think should be obvious.
And as someone who doesn't read Becky as well as Sam does, it didn't come across like you came up confident and looked strong.
Nice. Sounded great.
What I really wanted to say in Spanish, but it kind of left me, was this is a really spineless attempt to be, to have outreach to everyone.
Oh, my God. Why didn't you say that?
I don't know how to say spineless in Spanish off the cuff. So I just keep plowing ahead, and I'm hearing some like and like the surprise on the faces of the council members was there, and trying not to let that burn through me because it's a little intimidating. And then I go ahead and sit down, and I'm sure that I'm flushed and red, and I'm like, Sam, how did I do? And in the meantime, I'm hearing someone being like, oh, she said she supports the amendment.
Which that was Chairman Dan Roach, and credit to him, he at least understands Spanish enough that he picked that much out of
now, it. There are two aspects to this which are interesting. Oh, wait, no. This was still when it was just E Pluribus Unum, or was it when...
No,
this was in God We Trust in many languages.
This is where you and I parted ways.
Yes.
You were in support of the amendment to split E Pluribus Unum, or to add both E Pluribus Unum and In God We Trust.
That was the next amendment.
That was the next amendment.
In God We Trust, but in 60 languages, which I believe Connie Ladenburg actually said, like, there are 60 languages that are spoken in our county, and therefore we should have it on the wall in 60 languages.
Which is the best way to say 60 at a minimum.
Yeah, wow. And the amendment itself was just to have the most predominantly spoken languages there.
What? And another thing I want to go back to is, like, okay, going back to the First Amendment, the actual legitimate serious to change it from In God We Trust to E Pluribus Unum, there was a guy who came up and basically said, that's in Latin, no one speaks Latin, therefore we shouldn't do that.
Oh, yeah, he was amongst the language haters, yeah. of this crowd that happened to be there. Connie Ladenburg said, I think it actually is a great little opportunity for an educational moment when people can look at it and say, what does that mean? And, you know, far be it from her to say, that we should continue speaking Latin. She did. But as a language teacher, I will appreciate, hey, let's provide opportunities for people to be multilingual. And that was really sort of the approach that I had. Also to shock the council a little bit by saying, hey, there's multiple languages that are indeed spoken. Let's acknowledge that, like, and see it before our very eyes, because we can talk all we want how there are people that, you know, are limited from their participation in government because of their inability to speak English yet, or to read English with proficiency yet. Mm-hmm. But let's actually have that before your eyes, council members.
Well, and I want to give a shout out to Connie Ladenburg for her amazing ability to think on her feet. And at some point, somebody went with this amendment to put In God We Trust in 60 different languages. Somebody brought up the point. They said, well, you don't have city council room in 60 languages. You don't have this in 60 languages. None of the others. There's no law that says all these signs need to be in all
these
languages.
Well, maybe we should. Yeah, that was me channeling Connie right there.
Yeah, without missing a beat, because I was thinking, it's like, you know, it's not really a good point, but I don't really have anything. And she was on the spot. She nailed it.
Maybe we should think about doing that in multiple languages. Yeah. And it was a moment to say, hey, let's try and get as many people as we can in our participatory form of government, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, whether you speak English yet or not. And it was great. And this really kept Connie Ladenburg anchored in the E Pluribus Unum from many one, that this is the most inclusive thing that we can have. And it also harkens to our national heritage. No doubt about it.
Yeah, she always came back to that point that inclusivity should be the aim. And In God We Trust is not inclusive.
Oh, can I bring up a weird little comment about E Pluribus Unum that someone raised?
Please.
So,
where are we in the narrative? Because I'm getting lost.
It's okay. We'll find you in just a second. Okay. But there was a gentleman who described himself as the tentative atheist, and he testified in favor of all of these, you know, amendments and against the resolution overall. And then he got up and said, "I'd like to retract my previous statement. I misunderstood. E Pluribus Unum actually means, wait for it, actually means there were many gods, but one of them was above them all." So don't include this.
What?
I think everyone in the room, everyone, whether they were a Christian dominionist or a secularist or whatever, kind of all cocked their head sideways, scratched that, raised one eyebrow and went, huh?
Well, yeah, they scratched their heads, tilted, you know, like the dog that doesn't understand where the treat went. Yeah. And then relativistically exited the speech.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, we were all prepping. It's like, oh, here's a good time to catch up on Facebook or Twitter or perhaps do your taxes or maybe get a salad.
This must have come after I left because I don't remember.
It was after you left. The thing is, he said some really, really cogent stuff and he put it really well. And then he goes up there and says that. And I'm like, well, I don't know where you are anymore.
Yeah.
And
it was very strange.
I don't want to make fun of people.
Okay.
But we are.
Let me go on a little rabbit trail here, but I want to look at this. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this the Bill Maher effect? I don't like Bill Maher.
Can you explain the Bill Maher effect? Is that what you're doing?
That's what I'm doing.
Then I will shut up.
Okay. I don't like Bill Maher. I think his approach is mean-spirited. I think that he does more damage than he does good. And every time I see Bill Maher held up as, well, this is what the atheists think, I'm like, oh, do we have to deal with this guy again? Is this the same sort of thing? Like, we don't want the person who's going to say E Pluribus Unum means there was a whole lot of gods, but one's more important on our side, because then we have to respond to that.
I don't care. I think that we're perfectly equipped to respond to say, no, no one really agrees with that.
No, we understand Latin. Well, some of us do.
Okay.
I took Latin, and I remember about maybe 8% of it.
Yeah. Well, and going back to Connie Ladenburg, that was another thing she said, just that, you know, when the country was founded, everyone knew Latin. It's kind of a shame that none of us do anymore. Just like, zing.
My response to that would be, not true. First part, not true. Second part, yeah, kind of true.
I loved it, actually, because people kept circling back to that when someone goes, pardon my Latin, but I believe that we have entered into reductio ad absurdum.
Yeah, that was good. Okay, so are we really circling?
We are. The languages amendment failed. The 80 million names of God failed. And then we had an amendment that was add In God We Trust and E Pluribus Unum together and display them prominently.
I don't really know the entire, like, the chronology of it, but I do remember the salient points. And the salient point that we have been circling for about 10 minutes now is, if you've been to the Ask an Atheist page, you have seen my new image macro of Becky with the saddest I have ever seen her in a public place in the years that I have known her.
It's the frowniest face I have ever made.
With the guy that people have now told me it looks like he's heiling. It looks like he's doing a German thing. That was not my intention. Had I noticed that, I would have picked a different image if a different image were possible. That was not my intention. Please understand that was not my intention.
But this guy.
But with the font with Becky, what? And this guy showed up And he brought like a piece of like a poster board with words on it.
It was a poster, and it said 3,000 people die every year from text messaging. Now, it doesn't
is that what it said?
Yeah, it doesn't. Didn't
okay, why
say,
did it have a picture of a dog's anus on it?
I think it was his broken leg.
It was. It was one of his wounds from when he was mortally wounded, and then Jesus helped him and stitched him all back together. Okay. Blah blah blah.
Like, I don't want to. Okay, if this guy was mortally wounded, and if you listen to this thing, that becomes a clear part of his narrative. I don't want to make fun of him too much.
No, this guy is like, there's probably some pain back there in his history, but this guy is so far off the deep end that, like,
right.
There's, you know, he has kind of become a parody of himself, it would be my guess.
All right, let's get to it.
Okay.
In that speech, he started talking. Councilmember Roach tried to cut him off. He started shouting, and he started shouting.
And flailing.
And flailing. But flailing is kind of his main. Let's let him flail. Mm-hmm. But he's like flailing plus. You know, he's flailing all over the place. And he's going, free speech! You guys, everybody here in this room is limiting my free speech! Everybody! And the problem is most of the people in the room agree with him. He's like, you people don't want to hear about religion and how... And he gets dragged out. He gets ejected. The footage goes to graphics. And so you don't hear all the screaming. I don't know how to characterize it, but I discovered after the fact that he actually kind of threw himself on the floor.
Yeah, something like that.
And far be it from me to make a tasteless current events joke from roughly 3 or 4 years ago, but it sounds like it was a please tase me, bro, kind of moment where he was like looking to make his career on being arrested for speaking about Christianity.
Yeah. Looking for the persecution.
He definitely had referenced the fact that he had spent a few days in jail for some other event where he had become disruptive. The thing is that he had testified on every single one of the amendments and every single time had been asked to rein it in a little bit, focus his comments specifically on the amendment in question. And he goes, and he had this pattern where he would say, well, that is the whole thing. And then he would start saying that whatever ridiculous tangent he had gone on actually did relate to all the 8 names of God that you wanted to include or the 9 languages that you wanted to include. At one point, he got up there and started apologizing for the harm that his Christian ancestors had enacted upon the council chair's Mormon ancestors.
Well, wasn't that after he had said something kind of denigrating about Mormons?
Well, he said, okay, most of this stuff happened after I left. The flailing of the arms, gnashing of teeth, and other
biblical
things.
The flailing of the teeth and the gnashing of arms.
There we go. That okay. All happened after I left. But when he was there, he'd gone off on these weird tangents, and everyone kind of knew. It's like, okay, crazy guy's turn to talk.
Yeah.
And then he went off. Like, the first time, he just said his piece and sat down. The second time, he said his piece, and as he's walking away, he just throws out another couple zingers. And this sort of became a theme, is that he'd get kicked off of the podium because you're limited to 3 minutes.
Doo, doo, doo.
And then...
Oh, yeah. He would take
a step away, and then he'd shout something. And then at one point, he started yelling. He's like, well, it's because the Mormons, and you're Mormon, and so this is why you support this, blah, blah, blah. And Connie Ladenburg is like, okay, enough. We are done with this guy. And the chairman, who these comments were directed at, is like, nope, it's okay. Just let him be.
Yeah.
And
The best that I can think of was that... that Council Chair Roach had really not wanted to be on record asking for the sheriffs to escort a man outward and to let him have his temper tantrum out of the room and escort himself out of the room.
More than that, like, there is a lot of reasons we could get on Roach's case here. Like, there's a lot of reasons. But I got a lot of texts and a lot of Twitters in the middle of this conversation that they were letting crazy Mick used car pants go on for a long time. And I was like, no, let it go. It's okay. It's all right. Let him vent his spleen and leave the stage, and he can go home feeling like he communicated what he wanted to communicate without feeling left out, without causing a scene, without making the experience worse for other people. I didn't communicate it that much because it's 160 characters, and what the heck am I going to say?
Yeah,
but that was my feeling.
Yeah.
And And he was allowed to do that until he started being openly insulting of people. And then he was said, okay, this is a bridge too far. Don't go here. And then he was like, please tase me, bro. Free speech, free speech, free speech. I'm speaking truth to power. Blah, 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 blah. And
Salmon captured the sentiments, if not the exact wording. But
yeah, yes. I know.
And they called an emergency recess, and it really broke the tension in that room.
Yeah. No, the sun came out, the clouds parted, a breeze came across the room, not just because they opened the windows and the doors, because it's getting kind of warm in there. Mm. Yeah.
Flanagan came out and talked to some of his some of the constituents. Yeah. A few of the other guys took some water breaks. Joyce McDonald woke up from her nap.
But if I may make a point that I'm building towards here, is a lot of people are going to listen to this, I think, who may not necessarily agree with us. And the reason I'm talking about this guy is because he was building a narrative. He was trying to build a narrative that he was the odd man out. He was the guy who was the only one willing to speak the truth to power. And he was the only one willing to carry the gospel in a room where the large majority of the people there were willing, everybody on that stage, save two.
Okay. I would say in the crowd, I would say it was close to
It was nowhere. You go back and look at those. You go back and look at the video. Do some counts. The other side of the room was a little heavier.
Okay. Maybe.
If I may, this guy had to build a narrative to build himself into a victim. I know there's a lot of people tonight who, after this meeting, went back to the places where they meet with other people and they talk about things that matter to them, where they have to build a narrative where they are selling themselves as the victim, where we are the perpetrators. And the only thing we are asking for here is that we be allowed a place at the table. And that's all we are asking for. We're not asking you to not be a Christian. We're not asking you to not be a believer. We're asking for a place at the table. We're asking that when we show up at local government, maybe don't insult us. Maybe we might have something to add. And in order to make that message meaningless, in order to take the meaning out of that message, this guy had to build a huge narrative where he was the victim and we were the perpetrators. And the thing is, he was the funny one. He was the one in the funny suit. He was the obvious one. But he was not the only one in the room doing that. And he was not the only one on that side of the table that was doing that. And there were people on the other side of the table doing that. Our existence, our ability to have a conversation about politics in America shouldn't be scary. And it shouldn't scare you.
I think you got a point here, and I think it actually goes to a larger issue with Christianity in general of the persecution complex.
This is entirely the persecution complex.
They have to feel persecuted. It doesn't matter how much power they gather. It doesn't matter how in control of things they are. The moment someone speaks out against them, it's like, Jesus told us we would be persecuted. It's like, no, you're not persecuted. But they want to build that narrative, and you may have a point.
So there was one really surprising person in my view that didn't build that persecution narrative, who is a religious believer. And if I may bring us now to Fleming.
Right.
To Councilmember Fleming, who was the first one to speak after all public comment. And he started out by saying he's a religious believer. And he ended up by saying that he doesn't need a plaque on a wall to tell him and remind him that he trusts in God and where his trust and strength lies and where his guidance is and who he serves. He said, I don't need that on the wall. And when he started talking, I scribbled on a little piece of paper to Sam. I go, is he shoring up his no vote?
And I was Twittering at the same time because he kind of lied about what you were saying.
He did. He mischaracterized something that I said. He kind of alluded to Ms. Friedman's testimony, along with two other people that were the pro-God we trust people, saying God is universal. And then he added a but. And it was, but everyone's relationship to their God needn't be proclaimed on our walls is basically what it came down to. And Sam, you noticed something really salient, and that was for Connie Ladenburg and Councilmember Fleming, both of them had to outwardly say I am a believer. I have a relationship with my God. I am a spiritual person. It is a personal thing. Because in this climate, it is political suicide, practically, to vote against a religious measure without saying, hey, but it's okay because I am religious.
The tragedy here for Councilmember Talbert and the tragedy here for Councilmember Ladenburg isn't that they had to state, or isn't that they stated their faith. It's that they felt it necessary to state their faith. They're not allowed to be in favor of pluralism without suggesting their membership to the religious majority. Those of us who are interested in pluralism, who are not a member of the religious majority, were voted off the island almost before we open our mouths.
Oh, yeah. It's totally like you were saying, we want a seat at the table, and they were saying, they deserve a seat at the table. I'm not one of them, but they deserve a seat at the table.
Right.
And for that, I am grateful. For that, I am grateful. We are not one of you, but we invite you and welcome you. And that is something that I would like to see from all of our representatives.
Sounds kind of Christian idea.
Imagine that.
Gee. Yeah. Hospitality? Where the hell did that come
from? So we did have a few public commenters that were of similar minds. We had Miss Glenda the Good Witch.
We did.
Yes. We had a citizen Glenda who, as far as we could tell, may have been a pagan. She was really sad.
She was right in front of us, right?
Yeah. She was really sad that goddess wasn't mentioned.
She was my Mystery Science Theater view into this whole charade. Like, she was right in front of me, and I could see her head as she was talking about the horrible things that were being paraded before us. It was really cool.
So, she was kind of cool. She, I don't think, associated herself as an atheist. She
nope.
went, secular humanists. They're pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
There was Cheryl, who was interacted with Ask an Atheist, who testified and implored the council members using the we. She included herself as the religious believers with the council members, saying, hey, these people deserve to be included as well.
And as you guys know, me and Cheryl will fight loggerheads.
Yep, yep.
But in these moments, you know, there's agreement. And that, I like that. That's cool.
There was also one woman who gave public comments several times, and she gave comment on the amendments, and then finally on the resolution itself, saying, it seems clear that your minds are already made up, so I'm trying to think of one thing that I could say to sway your votes, and I didn't want to do this, but I am a religious believer. And she said, I didn't want to include that because it is irrelevant. It should be irrelevant, and it shouldn't be up on our wall. And it was those little moments, and we had those knowing nods across the room, where it's, you know, whatever you believe, however you want to worship or not worship, is no business of mine. However you want to participate in government is all of our business.
Yeah, and I'm kind of glad that, like, the way that she approached that, this is after I left, and I did have a whole bunch of sort of prepared remarks that weren't written down, but kind of in my head of how I wanted to say it. And yeah. I wanted to lead out with, the cynical part of me says, nothing I say here matters, that every single one of you have your mind made up. But there is a part of me that's hopeful that you have these public hearings so you can hear what we say, so we are allowed to change your mind. And she kind of went down that path with the, I'm trying to think of what's going to change your mind. And I'm glad somebody actually came with that, because that's what I wanted to do, but yeah. I had to leave, so.
Can we talk about Talbert? Because, boy, was he a tiger.
That guy.
So, Talbert at one point got shushed by the council chair. Talbert said, you know, usually I like to just speak off the cuff. These are discussions, but I had prepared my statements beforehand. He read one of the most biting statements of the night.
Yeah, he said, like, he was more on point than any of us. And he's like, I don't usually write my statements, but I gotta land this one. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but
he called out McCune. Called out McCune specifically for McCune's comments that directly belied the fact that McCune is using his position to inject his religion into government. And at one point, I guess some of the rules are that you can't comment, you can't speculate on someone's motives.
You can't speculate on someone's motives. And Roach tried to call him on that. And Talbert was like, I'm not speculating. He's on the record as saying these things. And Roach still tried to call him on it.
Yep. But Talbert was a total tiger, just going after him and really calling out McCune for the liar, the Christian Dominionist, the ass that he is.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was quite impressive.
Did anyone get to... Okay, I have to give major props to Robert Ray for catching this thing when he was watching...
Oh, the document thing?
Yeah. He caught this still of McCune flipping through documents, and he's like, I recognize that page. And he says, this is a page from this group, which I think you guys discussed yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't mention that.
In God We Trust America.
I had, as you guys know... Which is not, this is not me complaining, this is just me recognizing the facts. I got cut off kind of early on my last speech, which is where I had most of my points specifically dealing with the bill.
Right.
But I opened with, if you want my disagreement with this bill, or this motion, whatever.
Resolution.
This is we are so far from Robert's Rules of Order, I'm confused. I said, if you look at everything I've said before, this is my omnibus disagreement with what you're doing here. But I didn't get to mention a lot of stuff. And the fact that here he is in council chambers with a document printed from Dominionist literature, a PDF sent direct from Dominionist Central. I didn't get to talk about that.
Well, it's not
And
it's not just that he had the document. It's that he had the document while saying that there was no outside pressure for him to do this, that this is just a thing he thought of, which,
yeah.
I mean, come on. It is election season. We all know why he's doing this.
He was reading from a Dominionist document saying that he wasn't being pushed into this, that this didn't actually mean anything, that he had done this on his own initiative, yeah. And that it had nothing to do with any national movement. Lie. Like, this is the quintessential liar.
The blatant hypocrisy. I wish somebody had called him out on that. And if Rick Talbert was one to do that, that's even better.
We couldn't. The rules disallowed it.
Yeah.
I did try to say at some point that the source material for this bill prior to the amendment does come from an organization that is explicitly Christian and blah, blah, blah. And Roach was like, are you speaking of the amendment or are you speaking of the overall resolution?
Yes.
So I did say the source material comes for this and I disagree with it. And even with all of these amendments, it still is exclusive. But no, we were unable to really sort of pin McCune in that way.
One thing that we haven't mentioned yet. Okay, so we mentioned Fleming flipping. And I appreciate that, I do. And Americans United showed up and read a statement.
Yeah, Americans United for the separation of church and
nice
state.
Nice backup.
That was Chuck Bean. He's the vice president of the Greater Seattle chapter. He drove all the way down from Duval, which is about an hour and 15 minutes away up north. But the Greater Seattle chapter does cover Pierce County. We're in the whole catchment area for the Greater Seattle chapter. And I'm really thankful for organizations that are allied with Humanists of Washington, with the interests of, you know, of all of us. Americans United for the Separation of Church and State includes religious people.
Yeah.
some of the most staunch defenders of this principle of the wall of separation are people like Jehovah's Witnesses, people of minority religious status that would be unable to participate in their religious beliefs if there were a predominant Christian sect in government.
This is why I feel safe calling myself non-evangelical when I do stuff like this. Please don't put this on your wall. It's insulting to people who don't believe. It's not inclusive, is because I know there's a significant population of people who do believe are at my back. Yeah, and a lot of them are members of Americans United.
To drag an old story out of the cupboard, but the Oklahoma State Capitol building and the Satanic Temple wanting to put a statue, you know, the moratorium was put that no more statues until we settle the case on the Ten Commandments statue. The case on the Ten Commandments statue was brought by a Baptist.
Right.
Who said, this is my beliefs and it does not belong in government because not everyone believes the way I do.
I wanted to point it out that you mentioned Satanism before I did. Can I just have that on the record? Because this is kind of where it ends up. And this was the point of my last speech, is this opens a Pandora's box. Mm-hmm. Both Becky and our introduction to the atheism community here in Washington State and Seattle and Tacoma and Olympia was with FFRF sign down in the Capitol building saying, happy holidays, by the way, religion sucks.
Yes.
And the absolute Pandora's box that opened, and suddenly there was a Festivus poll, and suddenly the Westboro Baptist Church was there, and suddenly there were 4,000 people who didn't need to be there saying, hey, something is screwed up. They all had different ideas about what was screwed up, but they all believed that something was screwed up. This box is now open. This thing is not over. And while they may have won, the people we disagree with may have won this round or this time, This is not a story that's over. And you know what the best thing about this is? It's not us who's going to bring the next chapter.
Yeah.
Somebody is going to push their luck. Somebody is going to say, now that I have built the wedge, if you're familiar with that argument, they're going to move into the second phase.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're not going to maintain vigilance. I'm not saying we're not done. I'm not saying we're done with this. But what I'm saying is, as I said in the speech, once you say, in God we trust, at some point, somebody is going to ask you the question, which God? And that's when things get scary.
And going back to the, you said, you know, you wanted to bring up and wanted on the record that you were not the first person to bring Satanism up in this room.
Yeah.
In that room, we were not the one to bring up Satan.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you.
I was surprised.
There was this woman who was very Christian, very blonde. Her argument was basically, I don't care what any of these people say. I love God, therefore it should be up. And when they were doing the amendment for, you know, for Elohim and Jehovah and Allah and all these other gods, she was the one who came up, why don't you throw Satan in the mix? And I'm like, exactly.
Yeah, I did kind of say, I agree. Let's put Satan on it. But I decided to slow play it, so I did.
But the fact that it was their side that brought that point up, I'm like, uh-huh.
Yeah, see how ridiculous this argument has become. Maybe the business of Pierce County would be better affected if you didn't try and pull stunts like this, where nobody had to come to your building, to your room, the room where you do business, the room where you try to make Pierce County work and say, hey, how about Satan?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the end of my story.
So shall we put a bow on this?
I think so.
Before we go, I just want to say that I went into this thinking, this is a lost cause. We are never going to win this fight. We are never going to change any minds. We are there to point out that we are there. We are there to stand up and say, hey, you're going to do this thing, and it affects real people, and those people happen to be us. The fact, we still lost, but the fact that we changed one mind and changed one vote, I think is huge.
It means we can work with this crowd.
Yeah, it means we can work. Yeah. And think, if we had changed one more, it wouldn't have happened.
Right.
That's it. We needed one more mind change. You know, they always say in sports, forgive me because it's me and I have to bring up sports, but in sports, they always say there's no such thing as a moral victory. It's wins and losses that matter. This moral victory, the fact that we changed one, I'm feeling pretty good about that.
I think we lost the game in the laws, but I think we won the game among the people. Yeah. I think in situations like these, there's more than one game going on, and McCune may have his day. And this may be, and I suspect this may have something to do with it, this may be how he comes back from what happened in November,
yeah,
when we talked about the good news clubs and giving public money to good news. This may be how he consoles himself.
I kind of did want to bring up, it's like, yeah, we were here last time because of this, and you said you would talk to your lawyers. It hasn't come up again, so we know what your lawyers said.
Right, right. And,
You went with one that there was precedent for.
Yeah.
So you knew you could win with this one.
So I suspect, and this is what I closed on, is Pierce County's government, there are eyes on it now that would not otherwise be on it. The FFRF is paying attention. Americans United for the Separation of Church and State are paying attention. American Humanist Association is paying attention. American Atheist is paying attention. I'm paying attention. We're paying attention. This is scrutiny they could have avoided had they not pulled this stunt. So what I'm expecting is perhaps a, if you'll pardon the joke, a come to Jesus meeting with McCune, where they go, okay, you got your victory. Stop now.
Yeah.
I'm voting for an epic rap battle between McCune and Sam.
I suck at rap. Are you kidding?
I'm sure he'd suck more because he doesn't look at anything but primary source material. He only goes from congressional
rap from
record
footnotes.
So
you went rap battle. I would have gone Highlander.
Oh, jeez. No, that has the whole violence thing, which I'm really trying to avoid.
Fair enough.
No. In fact, I'm going to write him a note and I'm going to say, look, we have a real disconnect on American politics. I'm going to give you the opportunity to set me straight. Name a time, name a place, name a crowd if you need one. I want to have a conversation with this guy. I want to get what's in his head.
I'll ask later. Never
mind. Okay. Anyway, we normally include bits of when we hit this point in the conversation, I usually say, hey, now here comes what happens. Here's the thing is, the meeting that we participated in is like 2.5 hours long. I'm not going to post that on my podcast feed. You'd all kill me. So, there will be links on the blog page if you want to hear our moments of triumph and our moments of failure. Look out for my failure selfie on Facebook and Twitter. Otherwise, thank you, Becky.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Dave.
Always a pleasure.
See you guys next week.